fall prep time. As always, it is really particularly special. And we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. It'll be so fun. So the Pulse of Spirit that's based on David's words last Sunday came out this afternoon. And what I'm going to do is read a brief paragraph of that and then invite anybody that wants to come up and speak to that to do so. You can speak one sentence, you can speak 5 minutes, just whatever feels natural to you, speak to that. And then if that sort of doesn't fill a whole hour, which it very well may not, I'll pick another little piece and we'll speak to that. The thing that some of us were noting in our time upstairs that was so enjoyable was just this beautiful dialogue. You know, somebody says something and that triggers something in you, and it's just so much fun to get to think together and dialogue together in that way. So I'm hoping that this time will feel a bit like that, you know, a little, you know, just kind of natural. We don't have sort of assigned speakers and all that, but people will just jump up and speak to whatever they want to speak to. Fair enough? Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go. So this Pulse of Spirit is called the Spirit of the Womb. And for those of you that were at Sunday service, which is probably pretty much everybody, I think you'll remember this bit about seeing. It was a really key piece. If I am really seeing you, I am knowing something about you that I wouldn't know if I didn't really see. To be willing to see is to be willing to know what has become broken in a person that I may not want to see. I have to be willing to see the grief that is present there and the disappointment and what has gotten hard for that person. If I want to see, I have to be willing to see that. But I have to be willing to see also past that to see their perfection. Do I want to know their perfection, or is it easier to see the surface imperfection, the surface difficulty that a person may be going through? Do I want to know their beauty? Anybody who would like to? Space is open.
I mean, how could I be out of the flow in the presence of all of these angels right here? Oh my goodness. What a context in which to offer something. That's why I so love living in a spiritual community such as Sunrise Ranch, because when you're offering something right and beautiful coming from the angel within you, it doesn't disturb people outside of you. It is reinforced by anyone that encounters you. And so, wow, we can just be totally open with each other in that way. We don't need to hold back the beauty of our being, the perfection of our being. I think one thing that David was getting at there was, we are perfect. And I think he was thinking of that wonderful song which Diego offered on Sunday, "You Are Perfect." And that is the beginning assumption that I make with every person. Every person, in essence, in the deepest part of them, in their very core, every person is perfect. There is an angel there. And so why not relate to that? No matter what appears on the outside, whether it's fear or anger or some other disturbing element of the personality, I always go to the inner perfection and seek to, in whatever way I can, bring that out. And one of the ways I feel you can bring it out when you're with a person is simply getting into that flow of blessing. Just blessing the angel that is present before you. Bless, just an unconditional blessing. It's unconditional love. And we can do that with anyone. I just posted an article on the Sunrise Ranch web, thanks to Roshana for connecting me with a wonderful image for that article. But I was mentioning, the title of the article is Observations on Life, 76 years in. And one little segment is on blessing. And in that segment, I indicated something that was said by James Twyman. Some of you remember him.
Yeah.
He's quite a famous spiritual leader. He's kind of a troubadour. He's quite a musician. Anyway, he said, as an exercise in blessing, and he said this right in the midst of the election in 2016, actually was after the election when Donald Trump was elected. He says, close your eyes, let love flow into your heart and begin to move through you. Open up your arms and embrace Donald Trump. And let a flow of blessing move through you to bring love to this man. And I'm sure that would be absolutely appalling to some left-wing liberals, but nevertheless, there's even an angel there in Donald Trump. I know I would have difficulty with this. It would be a challenge for me, but there is an angel there. We need to bless him, even Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin, all of the other so-called rogue gallery figures in the world. We are here to bless everyone and everything. Yeah. I'm sure that's enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jerry. I have to say, Jerry, you were where you bring your angelic force for me is when Rachel was talking about lightening up, and you make every meal. And when you get together with this one, between
this
the two,
one?
And then the one next to
you. Oh, yes.
And so if you want to laugh, then you always want to be at a table where Jerry and Bob and Dorian are at the very least, and a lot of other amazing people here, but you always make it lighter. And that's really important to me. It's one of the reasons that I do come to meals, besides the fact that there's excellent food, but there's just something special about the fact that I know if you are at the table and if Bob and Dorian are at the table, I'm going to be laughing for that amount of time, and that's important.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I think this is a time before us. I felt it at the manager's meeting today when Kiahi was speaking, really beginning to enjoy one another. And at the tables is a perfect example. Letting ourselves hike out a little bit, you know, out of our comfort zone or out of the places we've kind of put people in thinking-wise, and just think different and just start to ask questions we've never asked before and have fun. Have fun being together. And enjoying one another's company, you know, in the present moment. There's so much possibility there between any two people. And then when you get five people at a table, oh my God, the possibilities are enormous. I'm declaring unstuckness in my personality and in my energy flow. Tonight, I got to meet your friend, Joyce. And it was just beautiful exploring who you are.
I still want to get to know who you are.
and it just was a spontaneous thing.
That is the beauty, isn't it, of that paragraph that you read, Uma, of seeing a person and acknowledging the person and having the heart to really extend and enfold and bring in. To me, that is like so heart-touching. And watching you at the table tonight with Joyce, and just the offering of home and encompassment, understanding that there are people that come. I know, Jewel, you do that daily with people coming in. It's just like it is the heart of the home. It is our heart of the home, and it is in the great enjoyment of recognizing and saying, yeah, I see you. I want to see you. I want to know you. And just offering that beautiful heart of heaven. Yeah.
Yeah, what's coming up for me now in this moment around the topic of seeing is how much there is to a person. And like the difference between, well, David says in there that you know what you see in a person, and through the seeing of it, then you know that. So, of course, how important it is to be able to see the core depth of a person as a being of love and the angel within. And then I was thinking about how much more there is to each person than what I currently see. And how important the quality of curious interest is to expanding what I'm able to see in a person, and therefore the depth with which I know that person. Because the more I see, the more I can relate to in that person. And that is the basis of what a relationship is. You know? And how often it might happen that maybe I know somebody for a while, I know a few things about them, and I have this idea that I know them based off of that. And so then this image or idea that I have of who they are is how I relate to them. But yet, if there was more curious interest in that person and who they are and what they're about, there's probably tons that I don't know that would fill out the entire picture of who that one is as a being, as a human, as you know, a person experiencing a life, rather than just like this kind of snapshot, kind of, oh yeah, they're, you know, happy, but also a little stressed out, and, you know, whatever it is that I know about them, when there's so much more. And then, so then the difference of there's seeing what's there, and then there's looking to see what else.
I'm just thinking, Karen, that's wonderful. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I have this experience of, why on earth did I say that? Or why did I do that? One has to get over oneself in a way. Rachel, and I guess she isn't here now, but upstairs she was saying that had been an experience she was recalling. She didn't tell us what this strange and terrible thing she had done was, but an instance where she had not expressed the angelic nature that she should have, and thought that she was about to be given the boot. And talking with David had said, well, it's good to know that you're crazy once in a while, and but don't do it again. So the thing is, we can laugh about it and realize that we may have done in the moment great damage. Who knows? Joyce was speaking earlier upstairs of the environmental situation we have in the world, and how do I know? But something I said or did, the way I reacted with somebody, caused one of the polar bears to die. I don't know. Maybe the, you know, we're getting down toward the last one on Earth. Could it be that at some point I might be the cause for that last polar bear to go? I can't spend the day or the years in self-condemnation. I have to see that well, there's another moment. There's another possibility, another opportunity, as long as I'm breathing, to have a right interaction with people and a right expression. Whatever that might be, maybe this thing that I thought was so bad was actually a very creative act. Years later, I might realize that. So stop questioning it in oneself and in someone else. So just get on with the game of life. It's so much fun.
We need to have compassion with ourselves. I think we learn more from or experience more. Isn't that what we're here to experience, love, from our failures? And we learn a lot more from our failures, I believe, than from when things are just going wonderfully. And it's not just this or that. There's just so many things going on all at once. It's very complicated, and we'll just try to make sense and always just go back to love and source. Yeah.
I think it comes to loving oneself.
That's right.
And accepting and not finding a reason to shut off that love. The minute we judge even ourselves, we cut off the flow. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of how there used to be this guy named Will Rogers, and he said he never met a person he didn't like. Mm-hmm. And he acted that way. He might have gone home and grumbled a bit, I don't know, but he was, I think, I would say that what he brought, the love of himself, into the viewing of others, and seeing that in others brought more of that love of self. Bill Bain, some of you met Bill Bain, he was like sunshine. And he would make you laugh at yourself in terms of what you thought was so serious and kept you down. And then he'd show you how to get out of it, you know, how to not identify with what's old and passing away and not real, and how to come up to that level of what we've been calling that level of highest love together. I think when we look at each other, in those of us here, when we look at each other and we say, oh, I'm going to support or see the true being there or the true highest love expression there, I think it's a great thing. I think if we went out on the street and did that to people, they might go. You know, they might feel like they're going to fry. If you looked with that intent of loving and seeing the being inside. So there may be a way of graciously looking and seeing the loving being inside of anyone you see, but you may not be putting pressure on their stomach or whatever it is that's going on. So the in the seeing, there's an acceptance. There's a seeing of what is maybe something the person can't see themselves. We call them shadows. So you see something that they can't see themselves. And you know, and you're establishing an agreement that it's so easy for this beautiful being to come out of the shell or come out of the limitations. And it's not that you should try to do surgery on them as to what's wrong, but to establish that agreement. Now, when I'm looking at someone else and I'm seeing that being, and we're in this exercise, and everybody's doing it across the room, and they're saying, you look at, everybody that looks at Bob is going to bless Bob, and I'm looking out here. I'm at such a state of high love that I'm expressing this, and they're seeing this too, and all of a sudden, there's a support mechanism that's really, I don't know how you multiply the amount of agreements and support mechanisms you have from other people who are at a very high level. But all of a sudden, it becomes clear that I have to live there. People are seeing me as higher than sometimes I see myself, and I need to return to that and stay there and live from there. And then if I'm in Jerry's bathroom downstairs and I spill some water or something, make a mess in his bathroom, which is a very popular thing to do. So when that happens, I'm not thinking Jerry's watching. I know that the loving being that I am is watching, and that I might have a shortcut to get out of there, or I might have some mess I've got to clean up, you know, make it look brand new as I go out. So even in the most mundane, nobody else is looking situations, you know, you drop a paper on the floor and you could walk away and say, you know, it'll blow away in the wind. Or no one will find it. They won't know I did it. You know, I've got more important things to do. But, you know, there is that loving being that wants the polar bears to live. They want to represent the rightness of things for the whole world. So there's this sense of responsibility that you love to be part of, even though the simple little things, you may have very important things to do to save the world, but it's the whole world that's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could figure out the progression of lines out into the natural world, how we could turn the corner on how man's been destroying this planet, but I can start right where I am and be honest with myself and not identify with those lower things and those attitudes and outlooks that are not at the highest level.
Yeah, it all starts right in that bathroom.
Yep.
That's right. Jerry's bathroom.
That's just
one of the things that Jane said on Sunday was that we are the representatives of all of humanity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like a couple things I've been thinking is, what if we woke up every day fully knowing that, really getting that, and getting that in our representation of all that is the highest and finest, what a human being is and can express. What if that came through me today? What if I today was able to show up in that way? And as we've been talking about joy, you know, what if we actually really believed that we came here to be in joy, to enjoy this life, and to be in joy with each other? I was thinking about superhero powers. There's some superhero powers that I want. And one of the superhero powers that I've been thinking of as you guys were all talking was that we have this, we can call it loving perception or whatever you want to call it, but we have this special gift of sight that when something happens that normally we would say, ooh, I don't like that. You know, I don't like that tone of voice. I don't like what you just said to me. I don't like what you just did. I don't like, you know, your behavior or how you're being or whatever. What if that actually triggered this superpower to show up? And the superpower could see beyond that. So let's say, for example, if a person is acting out of anger, but just, you know, but just letting it all hang out, just like being mad as hell. And what if we had the superpower to see immediately, oh, there's some fear there. And what if the fear was the fear of not being accepted, not being cared for, not being, their heart not being held in a safe space? What if it was a fear of not being safe? No. And what if that superpower gave us the ability to see then what is needed here? So as soon as we see something that we're like, oh, that doesn't look so great. I don't really like how that's going. We go through these steps and we see clearly what is needed. And then we see clearly how can we bring it? How can I be the safe place? How can I create the safe place that alleviates the fear, that calms the anger, that allows the love and the true being to come through? And, you know, like another one, I don't know, what if a person's really frustrated? And in their frustration, they're kind of taking it out on everybody. And what if we could clearly see in the moment that what's actually behind that is passion, a deep, deep passion for this perfected vision that they can see of how it could be, how it could be between us, how it could be at Sunrise Ranch, how it could be down at the farm, how we could be more sustainable, whatever it is, that the frustration actually comes from something that is lost, that they have they feel a deep need for and a deep passion for, and it's not there. So they feel a great loss. And in that great loss of that which they long for and they're passionate for, what we're seeing is the frustration. But the frustration isn't the point, and the anger isn't the point, and the yelling at us isn't the point. The tone of disapproval isn't the point. There's something else there. And if we had the superpower to always know, ding, oh, there it is, there's something else there, and then the supervision kicks in, and we can see it, and then we can see what's needed, and then in our own heart's deep desire, we can see what's needed, how we can bring that. Mm. You know, if you think about, like, a new human, like when we talk about Barbara's new word for homo universalis is homo amore universalis. If we could see what a new human looked like, if we could dream it and envision it, wouldn't it include some kind of sight like that, some kind of special superpower, loving perception sight, and our ability to bring love in that way to another person? And to see the beauty, not only to see the beauty in them when it's not real obvious, but to call it forth, to bring it on, you know, to fill our experience with the beauty of that being that a moment ago was yelling at us, you know. But because we believe so much that it's true, we know how to find it in them, and we know how to call it forth from them. That highest and finest and greatest vision that we have for them can be the invitation that they need to step into that, knowing themselves, as opposed to being in agreement. Gary was speaking upstairs in our prep time, and I don't remember exactly how you said it, Gary. I'm going to totally butcher it, but it was beautifully said about, you know, what do we see? Are we seeing the behavior that we don't like, and that's what we're identifying with the person, as opposed to knowing, oh, that's just a behavior that I don't like, and it's arising out of something else. And it isn't who they are. And that's not what I'm going to see. Because we can either be in agreement with them, because in the moment they've identified with their anger or their whatever. Are we going to be in agreement with that and identify them with that too? Are we going to continue to hold for them the identification that we know to be the case of with the angel that they are? It's like we have those opportunities every day, pretty much, right? Every single day.
For me, developing that superpower is about recognizing it in me. So understanding, you know, working with my, because I can't understand another if I don't understand myself. I can't love another if I don't love myself. And so when I work on those superpowers, it's identifying the love that is present within all of us as who I truly am. And when I'm not being that, like, what is up? You know, what happened here? And by identifying, you said that beautifully, the frustration being what the vision that I have of the shiny perfection or the perfection which I think I should be, and I'm not being that, but observing the inner dynamics going on and finding that perfection within and allowing that just to transmute the frustration and not over-identifying with it. So if I see someone who's having a rough day, it really depends on, you know, if I'm having a rough day, then all bets are off, right? I'm probably not going to see their angel. So in my day, everything becomes a mirror and a reflection in one way or another. And to the depths that I've explored my own anger and my own sadness and my own imperfection and accepted it, had compassion for it, and allowed it to be loved. To the extent that I can do that for me, I can do that for others. Mm-hmm. And so that is my practice. And it's a beautiful process. Because then, with the anger or the, you know, someone in fear, I recognize that. Mm-hmm. I've been there. And what I know to do for me is to hold the vibration of love and assurance in God. and just use that vibration. And if I can hold that vibration, you know, through the law of resonance, then that person can come into that space with me. And then we can discuss, you know, what is your need and how can I help you with this? You know, so it all starts with me. Generally, you know, it just has to. It just has to, because if I don't get it in me, then it's really hard for me to have anything to offer you. Except working in for selfish means. Oh my God, that person's anger is freaking me out, you know. And so I need to calm them down so I feel better instead of coming from the place of love, compassion, and acceptance, you know. And any given day, you know, it gets better over time, more consistent, right?
It's a beautiful new paradigm for self-centeredness. Me right. First work it out here, get centered within myself.
Right. Well, you know, and I grew up from young in my spiritual practice in AA. And it was one of the concepts was you have to be selfish. Because, you know, if you don't have your recovery, you got nothing to offer anybody else. And so that's been the way I've been wired for a really long time. And that's true. Yeah. It's a new paradigm in selfishness.
So true. Love that. Thank you. Because it does all start right here. It's an inside-out game. Our creation is a reflection of our consciousness, whatever we're putting out. And, yeah, I used to think it was all about service versus selfishness. Mm. And now I realize it's a balance. Mm. You know, if you go too far on either side, you're imbalanced. And it's not going to be a healthy experience. Really like the superpower. I was thinking of the term clairvoyance, which actually means and translates clear seeing. Mm. And how we often think of that as some special ability to see into the future. But it's much more potent to use that ability to see into the present. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was really appreciating what you were sharing there about with the Jerry's bathroom. But what it brought up for me was the concept of integrity. Like, that's what integrity is. It's like doing what you know is right, highest, best, service, respectful of the whole and others, even when no one's looking. And it's such a funny idea, too, that we think that there's ever a time when no one's looking, or there's anything that's not known, or something that we can hide.
Right.
Because there are entire realms of existence beyond people with physical eyes, and, you know, that, like, it's just known. Everything we do is known. There is no secret. There is no hiding anything from a higher reality. And to, in some way, think that we can is almost like denying the higher reality. And, the last thought. Around the idea of joy. And we were talking in our prep time, Ray wasn't there, around lightening up versus like being serious. And brought up an idea of like, but I'm here to help save the world. You know, it's like, there's a sense, I think, that all of us have to whatever degree that we're here with some sort of higher important mission that deals with consciousness and humanity and saving the world and bringing us into something possible that's not experienced. And sometimes I think the idea comes up, I've seen it in me, that if I'm just focusing on myself, you know, and doing that little bit of like sacred selfishness is what I call it, or, you know, I'm just being happy and enjoying life fully in the present moment, that I'm not really doing the real work that needs to be done for the big picture. In reality, it's funny because doing those things actually is the real work mm-hmm. for the big picture. Mm-hmm. Because that is the portal of the present moment and the joy of spirit that actually brings the restoration that we're here to serve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Hallelujah.
And the word you said, balance, the universe is always seeking balance. You don't know this without that, and it's, and all the gray zones in between, there's just so much going on. Mm-hmm. And just to just observe it and not put values on it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That thing about thinking that nobody saw it, nobody seeing it, you know, I was thinking about the same thing with our thoughts. You know, we think that mm-hmm. we can have all this nastiness going on in our head, like stoning them to death in our head with our thoughts. Hi, how are you today? And, you know, we think nobody sees our thoughts, but, you know, we actually live with a whole bunch of very energetically aware people, and they're probably pretty well aware that you're shooting darts at them right now, you know, despite what you're saying. It's so funny that we think that we get to hide, and, you know, if we really knew that for every thought that we thought, imagine what it'd be like to say it out loud and then say, you kind of just did because you thought it. And particularly if you're obsessing on that thought and it's going on and on and on, because the out loud part is not coming with the words, but it's coming with the energy. It's still out loud. It's all over the out loudness of everybody else's presence and, you know, being with you in your presence. They can feel it.
Thoughts are things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, people take drugs or all kinds of, you know, consciousness-altering things so they can feel more joy, so to speak. And yet, when they're off the drug, they go back to the state where they can't see any joy. So it's so much easier to change your vision, your perspective. I know for doing artwork and painting, and you want to do something creative, you have to keep upping the level in which you love what you're seeing and what you're interpreting. If you're going to, even if you don't have words to explain what it is or images that are all that definable, you can put the love that you see into what you're painting and what your love for that particular medium. Mm-hmm. It could be music or anything, but doing art, if you can't see in a more creative, loving way, through a more creative, loving atmosphere, through a more creative, loving consciousness, and people go in museums and they look at it and I hear lectures about what the artist was up to, and I kind of laugh because I knew the guy was having a good time. And it wasn't as serious as people make it out to be. Seriousness is a...
It's a disease.
I've been in serious of situations, and I keep going to some of the most serious of situations. And I think there was probably a point, I don't want to describe what it was like, but there was a point where I felt like I was totally worthless, that the situation had made me worthless. I was shamed, belittled, treated terribly, you know, deadly situation. So I could go around saying, well, I've got this thing, and I have a right to, and I could claim insanity for the whole thing and everything else and live like that. Or I can live out of a transformative thing. If I stay in the joy, this stuff goes away. If I try to find the stuff down at the bottom of the pit and sort it all out, all this nothingness, all this emptiness, all this lack of love, as you were saying, you have to love. And it's, I don't think it's, the thing about the spiritual psychology of this stuff is that you have to be pouring out love, and a lot of it clears without you having to think about it. If you are examining whether you're going to love this terrible thing or not, or Putin or any of these guys, that you have to love what's real or feeling what's real, and not so much try to make something that is unreal, animated or alive, or truly try to love something that's just not... It needs to just pass away. It needs to go to where that stuff goes. And I think that trying to be too honest in your loving about loving all this crap, thinking you're going to get there someday by just being so compassionate and understanding and loving, I think that's kind of a trap too. I think the there has to be this strong expression of love from within oneself that fills in the present moment. And this other stuff does go away. It does. It's not real.
Superpower.
Well, one reason I like Swami Beyond Ananda, because he does lighten up, and he said that karmic consciousness opens the door to cosmic consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some truth in that, seeing the lighter side of things and seeing the humor in everything. I mean, there is something that is funny and crazy and wild about every person, and especially about Bob Ewing. Kidding, of course. But speaking of that bathroom, by the way,
love me any way you want.
That bathroom is used by all kinds of people who come to the ranch. They come to the administration building, and I know for our UPS drivers and our FedEx drivers, our mailmen, they come to the ranch quite often loving to use that bathroom.
Really?
I guess the other bathrooms that they approach are not particularly that nice. That's why I try to keep it absolutely meticulous. I go in there about 6 or 7 times a day, and if I see anything that is out of place, I immediately take action, especially after Bob uses.
It's a superpower, right?
It's amazing the relationships I've developed with some of these drivers. The UPS driver has given me a t-shirt, he's giving me a beer mug. It's all a matter of greeting them with love and blessing. They sense something about that. I mean, if they came in and I, what do you want here? Especially with this one guy, Alex, his voice is so loud it can shake the whole building. And I just open up to him with my voice, and we just... Talk about a superpower. But that's what it takes. And I'm always in a good mood. I used to be in bad moods part of the day. I did. Then I realized one day, God never has a bad mood. Therefore, how can I, as a representative of God, ever have a bad mood? If God has no bad mood, so I'm always not in a good mood either, because God doesn't have any moods. God is just love. They're just pure love pouring out all the time.
I'd like to give you special dispensation to have good moods. Would you please? You have good moods all the time.
You know, along with that, Jerry, which is really beautiful and so laughingly humorous, the same power, it is the same power. It is the power of God, and it depends on how it is used by us, what it creates. Yeah. And there's been so much misuse of the power of God. And, the kingdom of God is expansive and flowing. And so when we try to use it for evil, it works. Where any two are in agreement. And so it's such a powerful way to live in the understanding it is the power and it can be used either way. And so, it is in the choice of the love that is going to bring the restorative power into the earth. So, you just like twig something in that about Bob in the bathroom. And I don't know.
We are creators, so we're always creating something. And it's helpful to stop and ask, what am I creating right now? Sometimes.
Right. I like that. It makes me think of the whole idea of good and evil, the polarity of different things, like love and fear as being expressions. And then the teaching of like light and darkness. And the teaching of, you know, that there is no darkness. There's only the absence of light. That's the only thing you can measure. You can't measure darkness. And so it's similar going into that whole thing of like any distortion pattern is, you know, a misuse of something is actually just an absence of the right use of that same something. And then I was thinking of a definition I read recently from one of the papers where fear is faith in a distortion pattern, which made me think about how, well, then love is like faith in possibility. And then relaying that same kind of like way of looking at things into what we were talking about earlier with lightening up versus seriousness, you know, or like joy versus that seriousness. And I was just thinking of them as two different ways of creation, creating something, and how I think when you're kind of coming from love and possibility and potential and something, it is easy to be light and joyful. And when you're creating from like fear and lack and that kind of range, well, that's a pretty serious thing. And how we can kind of check what energy, what emotions, what atmosphere we're holding inside of our own creation, all those parts of our life, and that can clue us into something deeper of where we're creating from, which once awareness is established, then there's opportunity for choice.
I've been thinking about in our conversation lately, I've been trying to use some of my lower vibration mechanisms to get me back up to my higher vibration space. And one of them is my piss and moan scale. So I've been catching myself, you know, if I go into a story, and I caught myself the other day, it was, you know, about my ex-husband and all I had done for him and blah, blah, blah. And I all of a sudden, I looked at my piss and moan scale and I went, how's that working for you? It was like, I mean, we got divorced when I was 30 something, and I'm 75. What value of repeating that story to myself is it for me or anybody around me? And I just, for the first time in a long time, just really, you know, oh, I kind of had a V8 thing. It's like, why? Why would I repeat that story? Certainly I have others that might be more interesting. It was like, wow, I like that mechanism. So I'm using that mechanism when I hear myself talking and going, is that really useful in 2018 at 75 to be repeating that story? And then I get to laugh at it and see the ridiculousness of it. So sometimes our little low energy mechanisms can be useful to help break patterns for us.
Well, you laugh at them, and suddenly you've saved the world. They've been hanging around because you haven't laughed at them yet. So so finally they come up, and you can let them go.
Exactly.
Great service.
Laugh your way right out of those chains.
That's what's going to pop up next.
Forgive them. That's good to do it, too.
Yeah.
Just forgive them.
That's great. Thank you.
So thank you guys so much. This was fun.
Yeah,
I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a happy hour. You know, we have our 7:30 to 9 instead of 5.
Have to tell us to bring drinks.
Yeah, right. That will lower our vibration. You don't want to do that.
You can have as much water as you want.
So I want to close our time with one more excerpt from the same Pulse of Spirit, the Spirit of the Womb. But what is beautiful and what is perfect, while it is specific to a person or some aspect of creation, is also universal. The beauty of a person is the beauty of all people. I speak for the love of all people. I speak for the beauty of all people. I see the beauty of all people in one person. And in some way, when we see the beauty and perfection of one person, we are seeing the perfection of all people. We are seeing the perfection of ourselves. We are seeing the unfolding reality of beauty itself. Beautiful. I love this Holy Spirit. Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
It was a lovely time to thank you for your suggestion of being in a circle. I enjoyed the circle time.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's wonderful to have you here with us, Joyce. Thank you for coming and joining us.
It was wonderful to feel the love in this room. It's really great. It's refreshing.
All right. Well, go forth and be beautiful and see beauty.
And joy.
And laughter.
And Jerry's there.